May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I never met my grandfather, Forrest Fletcher. He was a track star at Notre Dame, so good he went on to run in the 1912 Stockholm Olympics. He became a coach at Washington and Lee University, was beloved of students. But he died when my father was 17 after a long, debilitating illness. He was a sort of legendary personality that changed people who knew him. And it was sad not to have known him as a granddaughter. I remember a visit from my Aunt Pat, something that didn't happen very often because she lived in New York while my family lived here in Stanton, Virginia. I was grown at the time with three sons and living in Houston. I just remember two scenes from that visit, but they're very vivid. I recall her helping me in my garden that morning. She was down on her knees with her hands in the dirt. And I recall afterwards sitting at the kitchen table. She was telling a story, and it had a sort of impish adventure with a dose of creative humor. And at that instant, I had this strange, sudden, strong, aha, I see my grandfather. Because that was the very quality that I knew in my father, and it was not like my prim and proper and most wonderful grandmother. And I thought, I see him. Because I experienced his image expressed in the life of his two children. In our gospel for today, Jesus calls us to remember in whose image we are made and to whom we owe our all. In the scene from our gospel of Matthew, Jesus is accosted by the Pharisees, the religious leaders, joined this time also by the Herodians, who are those with allegiance to Herod, the secular authorities. They're trying to trick him by asking him whether to pay taxes to the emperor or not. If he says, do not pay the emperor, he would be declared a rebel by Rome. If he says they should pay, he could be accused of betraying his own Jewish people. Now, perhaps we would have wished that he would have said no taxes needed. Might have freed us, right? But he didn't do that. What he does do is he puts taxes, government taxes, in their place and turns the focus to God with the oft-quoted words, render unto the emperor that which is the emperor's, or Caesar, and unto God that which is God's. Render. In other translations, give. Another, give back. And he, of course, as Jesus is wont to do, leaves the question open for us. What is God's for us to render under him? Tertullian, an ancient Christian writer, was the first to notice and write about the fact that just as the coin, which Jesus said, hand to me, had the image of Caesar on it, each one of us has the image of God stamped on us. Our creativity, our intelligence, our power, our love, all of these are expressions of the very nature of God, just as my father and aunt were made in the image of their father, each of us are endowed with the essential qualities that that very image of our Creator God. So Jesus then and today calls us to render not just or even primarily our money, but our own selves to God. Indeed, often before the offertory, we sing, "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 6, beseeches us, offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And later, in chapter 12, by the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Ourselves, a living sacrifice? That's something more than deciding if we should up our pledge from 3% to 4%, or even up to the 10%, the biblical standard for giving, all of which is important and good. But Jesus is asking so much more. But I don't think we can do that unless we have experienced the sort of aha that came to me that day in the kitchen with my Aunt Pat, that we are made in the very likeness of God, that we are beloved children or grandchildren of our Heavenly Father, that the blood of our Jesus that we swallow at communion, it runs in our veins. Perhaps that aha might come to you when you're singing and you are amazed at the beauty of your voice that is something beyond just practice. Or when you sit on the floor with children and you are given a patience that seems from someone else. Or when you, with your chainsaw, are out cutting down a neighbor's fallen tree and realize that actually this strength comes perhaps from the God who made you. Or when you see a person on the street who doesn't look or smell so inviting, and yet your heart is drawn to shake his or her hand and look in their eyes and reach out with a compassion that you know was planted there by your Creator. And in one of these instances, I hope you have had that you will have it more, because we need that aha that says, this is gift. I am gift, which must be returned with gratitude. Today, after the service, we'll have an opportunity for some image giving back. In McCracken Hall, there's a ministry fair. You will have a chance to see the many varied ministries that go on at Trinity. Now, I'm inviting you to go with an eye to the image of God stamped not on a Roman coin, but into the very fabric of your being. Pay attention to the particular gifts God has given to you, the ways in which you might render them joyfully back to your Creator. You might try a sort of Frederick Buechner matching. He talks about finding the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meets. Does your image resonate with a call for hospitality? Try the picnic crew or noon lunch. Or is it a call to sing so you might become a vibrant choir member? Or do you resonate with the nurturing of children or youth and mission with the poor? Consider Haiti, Honduras, or the children here every Sunday. Or perhaps God created you, unlike me, with a penchant for order. Anyone here? Please sign up for administration and finance. Or you might have a brain that is called to novel theology, or a heart for Bible study. Out of 22 tables, surely one will stir your God image self in a new way. I would advise you, generally, against looking just for what is most needed to take on, like an extra piece of luggage that you haul around like a martyr. Although, if you have a gift of service, we need a few of you, please go for it. Don't go with a drudgery. Our Creator loves a cheerful giver. But go to look and to learn and hopefully discover something that stirs your heart or engages your mind and takes your strength. You'll have an opportunity to imagine how your unique person can give back to your Creator out of your own gifts that were, after all, given to you by God. A friend of mine, Heather Zempel, is a great preacher. She's also started writing books. But she was talking about this, and she said, "Actually, writing books is really hard for me. But when I preach, I hear a holy hum." It's a little like Chariots of Fire, Eric Liddell, who said, "When I run, I feel his glory." So I want this whole congregation full of people who are in the holy hum. I mean, can feel his glory, or doing what you're meant to be doing. You're like the car, operating at the speed it was meant to go. And the season of stewardship is a time for reimagining how we might render back to our Creator generously, cheerfully, of the resources, yes, given us as children, treasure, yes, but also time and talent. When Trinity's rector, Paul Nancaro, said he was going on sabbatical, I, along with you, was asked to pitch in some new ways. And since then, a picture of his return has come to me. My vision is not that of a parent returning from having left the children with a dutiful babysitter, and the children jump into the parent's arms and say, "Never leave me again." It is not like the tender of the pot who, when the chef returns, is glad that the chef is back to take over the pot. No, my picture is more akin to what we read about in Ephesians. We read each of us is given grace and gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry. God's people are called, and I quote, to grow up in every way into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament, as every part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself in love. Now, I think Muffy might be the ligament, but I imagine all of the saints, that's you, that's me, having stepped up to this invitation to spiritual maturity and found matches for our giftedness, so that when Paul returns, he finds things going better than ever, because each one has stepped up with treasure, with time, with talent. And then I imagine him gladly, with renewed energy and cheer himself, rejoining the party of our great gladness given for the parishes and the world's great hunger. All those images, those holy humming together for the glory of God. May it be. Amen.